depict nudity.
Well, I don't think that this bill addresses that specifically. I think it talks about conduct.
It mentions nudity in as one of it mentions nudity in the bill.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Lee. Mr. Lee.
Good afternoon, Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Duke Lee, and I am an employee of a record retailer in Portland, and actually it's Tower Records, and that's an international-wide chain. And we're a member of NARM, which is an acronym for National Association of Recording Merchandisers, and I'm acting upon their alerting us of this proposed bill. You'll excuse me if I'm a little nervous. This is the first time I've ever done anything like this.
That's fine. If you're lucky, it will be the last, right?
Yeah, please. My point today is after I reviewed this and heard testimonies left and right, and your point of view from Representative Bell, who has contributed to this proposal, Representative Mannix, and I understand both sides real clear, but what isn't clear to me is like what do you define obscene, and where do you draw the line? It's not so much this proposed bill that's coming up here right now, but I mean maybe we should establish what's obscene first before we propose another bill, you know, an amendment to it, you know, for a parent to take legal actions against a retailer. You know, I mean, I'm speaking out not only as a as an employee of a retail chain, because I'm not in fear of myself for being sued by a parent for selling a minor an obscene tape or CD. You know, I'm also concerned as a citizen that you know how far is this thing going to go. You know, an amendment passed. What else is going to be amended to that? That's my point. And the thing that gets me the most is that child rearing should be done with the family. If you're going to involve a record retailer by, you know, accusing him of selling, I mean, don't you think that you should raise your child the way, you know, you raise your child correctly? You know, if you know what's right and what's wrong, sit down with your child. Talk to him. He knows what's right. He knows what's wrong. If he picks up something that's obscene, of obscene lyric, or of pornography or something, and you one day discover he's hidden it underneath his mattress, don't you think you should sit down as a family unit and talk to him about what is right and what's wrong? I mean, I can't speak for Representative Bell, who has children, because I don't have any children. I have a younger sister, and I have another sister. And we were raised very, I would say, loosely. I come from an Oriental family, and I don't want to put a stereotype on anything, but most Oriental parents are very strict. And I understand that my parents, compared to other Oriental parents, are not as strict. But I think I turned out okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm not out there robbing liquor stores. I'm not out there raping somebody else's daughter. I'm not out there to kill anybody, anything, and Lord knows, you know, I'm just trying to make a living and go on. And I don't know if this bill passes. I don't know where it's going to stop. That's my testimony.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lilly. Let's get Mr. Lilly's testimony, and then we'll move on. Mr. Lilly, go ahead.
I'll try to be brief and to the point. I wrote concerned citizen down. However, I do work in retail. But I feel that's not really the point, because I'm not fearing my job in the retail business from this bill passing. I just think we're jumping on a bandwagon here about the trend right now in the musical industry. I'm going to stay on a musical angle, okay? The Two Live Crew stuff going on, everyone knows about that, and it seems to me a real popular standpoint in government is to say, well, hey, I'm against that too, and whatever it takes to get rid of music like that, I'll do whatever I can. And to me, that's being a little too narrow, and we're talking about thousands and thousands of selections of musical tapes from different artists saying different things, and I feel that there's a lot of artists out there making valid points who may happen to use profanity to make the point. For instance, on one hand, you have Two Live Crew and bands like DJ Quick or Too Short who try to outdo each other with profanity and violence and women hating, and that's, you know, to me that's truly disgusting. And it's, you know, if it would be easy to make a lot of make that go away, it'd be great. But the issue with that is it's a trend that our times are deeming, it's just popular now, and it's too bad, sure, but you can't sit here and make a bill up and throw it out to the people and expect everything to change. I'd like to expand on his point. This is something that should stay in the family, you know? I'm sorry for parents who have problems with their kids getting into drugs or violence or whatever, but it's not a retailer's fault for selling them a Two Live Crew tape. It's like, to me, if the parent can't run his children, you know, I'm coming from his standpoint too. I don't have kids, I'm not married. But to me, it seems that we have a really bad social family structure these days, and we're trying as a last-ditch effort to litigate bills like this to make a problem go away when that's not going to be it. I mean, to me, it's absurd that this says that a parent should be able to sue a retailer for supplying a minor with obscene material. Now, I'm not talking about pornography. I'm talking about music here, okay? And what means is this parent looking for by trying to get a financial settlement? I mean, it just doesn't make much sense. It's not showing the kid that, okay, we won a case against this retailer for selling you that tape. You feel better now? You know, it's stupid. And I'm just feeling like my First Amendment rights are just being slowly chipped away, and pretty soon I can't go out to a library or a record store and buy what I want, you know. And I don't want, you know, stuff like child pornography and stuff. I like to consider myself pretty normal, but pretty soon, if I want a tape by one of my favorite bands, and all of a sudden I found out that it's got a parental guidance sticker and they said the F word, and now my parent could sue the retailer I bought that from. It's just ridiculous and absurd, and I can't believe, it seems to me that the committee already kind of feels like this is going to go through and
Well, Mr. Lee, let me tell you that's not the case. I can tell you right now that there are several members of the committee, swing members of the committee, that are undecided, so the proposal is still very much up in the air.
Right. Well, so. I hope I could try to give another angle when you make your decision, because I don't feel this is a very good way to try to make things better.
Okay. Appreciate that. Okay, committee, it's up to you. We have one more bill to get through, so we have some. Representative Sanzeri.
I'd just like to ask these gentlemen then what their opinion would be. We have a major crisis in this country and in this state, and we've got children who are being castrated and beaten, and their whole lives are affected. Now, all of these things that you mentioned are becoming more and more clear that they are a contributing factor to this. And one person may not want child pornography today, but it's becoming more and more clear that if they're exposed to the R-rated stuff, becomes the X-rated stuff, becomes the perverted stuff, to the point where they get to snuff films where they rape girls and then shoot them and let people watch it so they can get their kicks from killing, watching the death. That kind of perversion is something that's progressive. I don't believe for a moment that when the Founding Fathers wrote the First Amendment, that they ever intended for people to be able to have rights to the place where they extended on somebody else's rights. That's why the Supreme Court won't allow Satanists to kill people in their ritual masses, you see, because your rights never extend to the place where they infringe on someone else's rights. So if you're concerned about your rights and the First Amendment and expression and all that, then what is your opinion? Where would you draw the line so that we can protect the lives of these children who are being destroyed forever?
I see exactly what you're saying, but to me, you're using a shock value, kind of psychological thing. We've all learned that in psychology. If you're exposed to something negative, you tend to want, if it makes you feel good, you want more and you step up. Like, I see exactly what you're saying, but see, that's not my angle on this. I'm talking about the music industry. People who may sing about something awful like that, but maybe, are you going to be the person who decides whether or not he was promoting that or he was trying to expose people to the ills of that problem, is what I'm saying. I know exactly what you're saying, and I feel like I'm being offended into, you know, by you saying that I want to give these perverts and murderers all the rights they want. I don't want that. You know, if you could narrow down this bill a little bit more and maybe go, you know, it's like the summary of the bill. I'm glad Ms. Representative Mannix explained it to me because, sure, I didn't read the bill. I couldn't get the bill. I only found out about this 2 days ago. But all I've heard about it today is it's too broad-based. We need to narrow it down. And it seems like when everyone talked about the bill, they started with movies or whatever. Yeah, that's not my angle. My angle is music, and that is a really broad thing because it's something you hear. It's not something you see. And I already told the committee that I'm against explicit like rap music and stuff, but there are some like rap bands out there that are saying positive things to kids, like Public Enemy per se. They're trying to break down racial barriers, and they may use a profane word or two to make their statement. However, they're not talking about violence against women or anything like that, or violence against each other or crime. It's like all
okay,
these.
Okay, Mr. Lilly, I'm going to have to cut you off there because we really do have another bill to get to. Representative Bell has a question. Representative Mason has a question. We got an entire another bill to get to, and we got people who have 5 hours to drive tonight.
Ask that you think of another perspective. This bill. I have 4 children, in middle school and high school. This bill isn't going to make a bit of difference to me because I believe exactly what you say, that it was my responsibility to teach them and make choices. And I let them go to any video store they want and pick out movies because they know how to do it. But we have legions of people out there who don't know how to be parents. Their parents didn't know how to be parents, and maybe their parents didn't. So we've got legions of children who aren't getting that. And I guess I don't see this as an attack on your industry, and I really am glad to hear the things that you're doing, and I believe in most cases this probably won't even affect you because you have rating systems and you have guidelines. But it's more of a plea for all of us to work together for the children who aren't getting any parenting, who aren't getting any training, so that we don't have 8-year-old sex offenders. I mean, that is a serious, serious thing. And whether you have kids or not, you've got to care about that fact that we have 8-year-old sex offenders. And it's not my child, but no matter whose it is, I've got to try to do something. So I hope you don't go away thinking that we're out to get you or anything. We're just out to help kids who are in big trouble because they aren't getting any guidance at home. And if we all work together and you give us your input and you give us your ideas on how this bill can be written so we can accomplish it for the kids, that would be great. And you can kind of see where we're coming from,
yeah.
Too, okay?
Oh, I do. But the bill, thank you. The bill as it stands seems to be well enough. I like what whoever said about they regulate themselves. If they don't do that, then you could maybe step in. But
yeah, in the music industry,
Representative Mason.
Yeah, I just wanted to give the gentleman a little perspective. Some of us up here are a little older than others, but some of us are fugitives in the 60s and 70s. And at one time in another life, I actually helped put on rock concerts and for about 4 hours with Jim Morrison's bodyguards during a Doors concert. Some of us have seen this from the very inside, and I know where you're coming from, but at the same time, what you put your finger on it when you talked about the strength of the family, the strength of general morality, and that's what people are concerned about right here. And some of us have come to the almost painful conclusion that it's very hard to have it both ways. And that's a very painful conclusion. And it's a perspective that comes from some of us, and I think Representative Sinceri is coming from one side, I'm probably coming from another side. But it's very, very hard to have it both ways. And if you listen to the testimony we've heard for 2 months on child abuse and sex abuse, you would come to the conclusion that this society is falling apart. And if you've got to tighten things up, so be it. and I say that with great sadness, but that's just the way it is, and I'm...
Okay, I appreciate... All right, I'm going to cut it off. Thank you three gentlemen for coming up. We really do appreciate your perspective, and as you heard before, we are going to be working on the bill. We would invite your participation in that as we move along, and if you check with either committee staff, they can put you on a mailing list and keep you posted of further hearings on the bill.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will close the public hearing on House Bill 2669, move into public hearing on House Bill 2668, and ask Kate Brown and Margaret Eakin, it looks to me like, and Angela Hagelstell to come up all at once. That's all right. Okay, that's fine. I didn't realize you were all together. I apologize. And while you were coming up and getting situated, I'm going to ask counsel to give us a brief overview of the bill. Committee members, this is something similar to what we've seen before. Counsel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, last session in what was known then as House Bill 2668, the Legislative Assembly passed a law which extended the statute of limitations for child abuse cases to allow victims up until their 23rd birthday to bring a civil action. This session in House Bill 2668, Representative Max has introduced a bill which prime sponsor on a bill which would extend that notion or that concept even more and allow a civil action to be brought for a period of 3 years after the injury has been established or discovered if it is later than the individual's 23rd birthday. Perhaps Representative Mason can be our historian here. I'm curious whether or not we've ever had two bills with sequential numbers, session after session, that have done basically the same thing.
I want to ask Representative Mason, was there really a singing group called the Boers?
Doors.
Doors.
Light by Fire, you remember?
I have to go look that one up, okay.
You're too young to remember.
Representative Mason's from the Archaeozoic era.
Right. I understand, for the committee's benefit, I understand that one of the witnesses is related to one of the committee members, and I guess that means, Angela, you have friends in high places or some such thing. So anyway, welcome. We appreciate you being here, and I don't know how you want to do this.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to speak briefly and then pull out Representative Kevin Mannix, District 32, Central and Northeast Salem. House Bill 2668 comes to you because of a couple of additional concepts that need to be addressed that were not fully addressed by last session's House Bill 2668. And that basically is the realization of some victims that they have been victimized, the realization that occurs when somehow what has been blacked out for years and years and years, the curtain drops, and in their 30s, in their 40s, whenever, going through psychotherapy perhaps, or counseling or whatever, all of a sudden that which has been blacked out comes back to them. Under the current statute of limitations for civil actions, there's no opportunity for a person in those circumstances to come back and bring civil action against a person who intentionally abused them. We're not talking here about negligence, and if we were discussing torts generally and negligence, I'd say, well, there's got to be some time when we will draw a firm line. But here we're talking about intentional abuse of a child. And last session we tried to address the issue. This session I'm coming back to you asking that we broaden the opportunity of the person to come in and bring legal action against that perpetrator. I would mention to you that we've provided in here that it be within 5 years after the person attains 18 years of age. I'll be proposing a change on that. Something else that's important about this bill is the final clause about its effective date, Section 2. Last session, when we changed the law, we thought we were opening the door to some people who had causes of action out there. And unfortunately, because of the timing of the legislation, those doors were not opened, or doors which were possibly opened were closed. Some of them are being litigated right now. Our intention last time, from everything I gathered from participating in the sessions, was to open those doors. What this bill does is effectively make retroactive this time limitations extension legislation and specify that if you had an action that would have been barred by these limitations prior to October 389, that notwithstanding other provisions of law, we're going to allow this to apply, and we hope to reopen those doors. I know we don't have a lot of time, so I'm not going to make poetic speeches. I don't want to speak lightly of the problem. We're talking about a very grave problem. But I want to give other people an opportunity to address the issue, so I'm going to step back and join the committee. And Kate, do you want to do some introductions? And I'll let you take over.
Thank you, Representative Mannix.
I'd like to introduce Margareta Eakin. She is a Portland attorney, and she is going to be speaking in support of House Bill 2668.
Thank you. My name is Margareta Eakin. I'm a Portland, Oregon attorney, and I represent Angela Hagestad. I filed a complaint arising out of her child sex abuse for her in January of 1990. Defendant moved to dismiss based on the fact that her claims were time-barred prior to the effective date of ORS 12117. That's October 3, 1989. Parties agreed that that question would be certified to the Oregon Supreme Court for determination. That question is, does ORS 12117 apply retroactively if such an action was previously barred? I felt good about the argument. We argued to the Oregon Supreme Court in October 7, but they have not rendered a decision. Subsection 2 of your House Bill 2668 clarifies that it is the legislative intent that ORS 12117 apply to actions which were time barred prior to its effective date. That language is taken from the California Code, and you probably have the written testimony. I hope you have that in front of you. Taken from the California Code, that code was tested in Leibig versus Superior Court. California tested for the question of whether the legislature had power to retroactively apply such a statute, and the California court answered yes, it did. So we're here just simply to tell you about our experience, where that case is in Oregon, and to ask for the legislature's help in clarifying that.
Appreciate that. I didn't clarify. Several people have said who she related to. It's Representative Park's niece, so committee members will know. And questions for Ms. Eakin? No. All right, great.
Next, I would like to introduce Nancy Hansen.
Thank you. I have a short statement. In 1985, my daughter revealed to us and a therapist that she had been sexually molested when she was 10 years old. She was 17 when she told us. Because of this information, it brought to the surface my own sexual abuse when I was 9 or 10. The next few years were very intense and difficult. I went into therapy at an Adults Molested as Children program at a clinic in Portland for 18 months, twice a week. Also during this time, my marriage was crumbling, so we did some marriage counseling for about 6 months. My youngest daughter was 3 years old when this trauma was revealed, and our lives appeared to be falling apart around us. She has struggled with issues of security and trust. In the last 6 years, my husband, my 9-year-old daughter, and myself have been using the services of a therapist. It has to date cost us somewhere near $15,000. We were very lucky to have some insurance to help us pay, but as you know, insurance is slowly cutting off mental health coverage. My oldest daughter moved out of the community and got married within 6 weeks of telling us of the incident. She spent about 1 month in therapy. Services were not adequate in the area she was living to help her, and she quit. She has never gone back. Because she left home so quickly, she was unable to use our insurance as a resource. She has had 2 children and has recently divorced and has never had the resources, money, or insurance to get the intense therapy that she desperately needs. Her abuser, during the same time frame, has bought a new business, has taken expensive vacation, re-landscaped his yard, bought a swimming pool and a hot tub. This bill could enable us to help tap his income to help my daughter get counseling. Because of my daughter's bravery and unveiling her abuse, it pushed me into confronting my own. How could I help her unless I had laid to rest my own issues? Had the opportunity to sue my abuser been available to me, I could have offset the tremendous cost to my family and my income. From a totally different perspective, I would like to highlight a couple of things. First of all, being sexually abused as a child with no therapy made me unable to recognize potential abuse in my own family. I was so clouded with my own denial and trying to cope the best I could that I didn't see the danger I had placed my daughter in. I ran away from my problems, or anyone else's for that matter, with the use of drugs and alcohol. Now, I'm not saying we lived in a cracked house or on the street. We were a very typical middle-class family. We paid our bills, worked and lived what I thought was a safe, normal life. When I went into intense therapy, I worked with two groups of women who had been sexually abused as children. The amazing thing about that was we were all having the same types of problems with the relationship, trust, blanking out our childhood, drug and abuse, drug and alcohol abuse, and in some cases, our own children being abused by people we knew and trusted. Sexual abuse is an ongoing issue. Through my own experience, I realized that it just doesn't stop without a tremendous amount of help and support. Sexual abuse survivors need any and all avenues of recourse to help in the long, painful healing process. In closing, the sacrifice that sexually abused child is forced to make, and the burden that that person must bear growing up is enormous. As a governing body, passing this bill is the least we should do.
Thank you very much, Ms. Hanson. Are there questions? We appreciate it. You've heard us sit here all day and hear legal arguments and sort of get esoteric, and we really need to hear stories like yours from time to time. So we appreciate you being here. Questions for any member of the panel, of the witnesses? All right. We will ask you to stick around while you watch the committee go to work. We'll move into work session on House Bill 2668.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
I move to amend the bill by adding an emergency clause.
Representative Mannix moves to amend House Bill 2668 in the addition of emergency clause. Discussion of the proposed amendment. Is there objection to the proposed amendment? So ordered.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mason.
I'm sorry.
Do we need to clarify that this bill is retroactive?
Would you take a look at page 2? I'd like your help on that, yes. Representative Mason. We're hoping that that language will make it clear that if you had a cause of action that would have been good under this bill as of October 3, 1989, that this, in effect, revives and maintains any such cause of action.
Okay. Thank you. Exactly right.
Mr. Chairman.
Great. Representative Mannix.
Also, I move to change 5 years on line 8 to 6 years, if I can explain.
To that. Your motion, yes.
We have just extended the statute of limitations, and
right.
I was very proud to have carried that bill on the House floor
right.
for sex abuse crimes involving minors, and we extended it up to 6 years after attaining the age of 18. This would bring us into conformity with the criminal statute of limitations extension concept.
Right. Okay. Representative Mannix has moved the deletion of the word 5 on line 8 and inserting instead of the word 6, and I think that's the only place in the bill where that...
Chairman.
Representative Mason.
Yeah, I don't want to blow this bill up too much, but I would like just to point out for the record that this bill includes on line 18 any mental injury to a child which results in observable and substantial impairment of the child's mental or psychological ability to function caused by cruelty to the child with due regard for the culture of the child.
Which is existing law.
Which is existing law, and we're expanding that statute, but I think that's an important provision. I guess I should, I know of a child and that may have been subject to that I'm in a relationship with, so I should perhaps should declare a potential conflict of interest, but that, I think, is very substantial because of the situation I'm thinking. I'm not going to get specific about my declaration of conflict. Involve the actions of a school, and I think that's good language.
Okay. Good. Further discussion of the proposed amendment. Is there objection to the proposed amendment changing 5 years to 6 years? Hearing no objection, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix. Representative Mannix moves House Bill 2668 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Hearing none. The clerk will call the rule. Representative
Parks.
I want
to state the conflict on the record that I'm related as an uncle to one of the witnesses who has some potential benefit from this bill. I'm voting for the bill because it brings the civil sanctions in line with what the criminal sanctions are that we've, and that's exactly the same reason I'm going to vote for the bill that we just had. And that's the issue with me. And I want to also state on the record, I know nothing about the facts of the case that you don't know. What you heard here is all I know okay. about that particular instance.
Great. Those two declarations being so noted. Further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll on House Bill 2668.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Clark?
Chair votes aye. Bill is passed the full committee. Representative Mannix, would you do the honor of carrying this bill for us?
Mr. Chairman, did I miss a vote while I was in the other committee?
Representative Sinceri, I don't believe so.
You didn't vote on 2669?
No. Committee, thank you for the good afternoon's work. Appreciate the participation of the audience. Have a nice weekend, and we will see you Monday.